Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. It is right now, today and tomorrow, actually tomorrow, is the celebration for the 65th year of Israel being a nation.
Oh, wow.
The 65th. Awesome. Yeah, isn't that neat? The 65th year of Israel being a nation. And I want you to listen to this history right here, real quick, live from CBN News. And we're going to talk about this. This is so, so very important, because remember this. This is what was said, that when Israel becomes a nation, when the fig tree begins to bear figs, that this generation who sees this will not pass until the Lord returns. We're talking 65 years into the process. I'm talking about in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Lord can return. So listen up to the time clock of God, Israel.
Today, Israelis remember their fallen soldiers and terror victims. And tomorrow, Israel celebrates its 65th Independence Day. CBN News Middle East Bureau Chief Chris Mitchell takes a look at what Israel has accomplished in the few decades since its rebirth.
At 65, Israel stands out for what it's accomplished and how it's prevailed. For centuries before statehood, Israelis and Jews around the world faced persecution and military threats. Holocaust survivor Martin Baroni lived here during the 1948 War of Independence.
What they achieved, the whole world for per capita, there's not a country in the world could have achieved from every point of view, from medical research to every aspect in life. It's just an amazing story.
Israel's population has also multiplied 10 times over since independence.
I think it's a miracle. We hope that it continues. It's very strong. It's a very encouraging place in which to be, and you can appreciate your historical roots of being Jewish.
Against incredible odds, Israel emerged as the leading military force in the Middle East. That helped lead to pioneering developments in technology that have helped Israel on the battlefield as well as the home front. As part of a memorial ceremony, Israelis paused to honor the more than 23,000 Israeli soldiers and thousands of terror victims who died for their country. Peace is still sought with its closest neighbors, the Palestinians. But Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu maintains his people must stay strong.
We are not bloodthirsty. Our hand is extended in peace to all people and all states near and far. But over the generations, we have learned that only a fierce protection force can promise that we will not be harmed.
And whether the enemy is an Egyptian pharaoh or a nuclear Iran, the people of Israel appear ready to stand together.
We used to it since the beginning of Israel. We had a lot of threats, and until now, I think we knew how to deal with that.
Yeah, they shall overcome. We outlived Paro. We outlived the titans of Russia. We outlived Hitler. We'll outlive whoever is going to stand in our way.
We've had adversaries before. We do have adversaries, but it only makes us think and how we can achieve more with these people breathing down our back, or with each other breathing down our back sometimes even. So I think the future is very bright.
Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Jerusalem.
It's so, so important when you're thinking about what's going on, because it's 60. Somebody says, well, that's brand new. Well, 65 is a long time in regards to, okay, this generation is not going to pass away. You think about it, Matthew 24, when Jesus is talking, you know, his disciples are asking him, they said, Jesus, when will you come back? When will you come back? In other words, well, we would say, when was the rapture going to happen? When is it over for everybody on the earth to receive you as Lord, you know? And Jesus starts talking to him and says, in verse 2, he says, you know, do you see all these things? And he says, truly, I tell you, not one of these stones, he's talking about the temple, not one of these stones here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. Talking about the temple that was taken down. This, of course, as soon as his death, burial, and resurrection, it wasn't long before they came in and destroyed Jerusalem and just tore things up. And as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, by the way, that's where he's going to return. He's going to come and it's going to split in two. And you can look right across, remember, from over the Kedron Valley, over the Eastern Gate. And he was sitting on the Mount of Olives talking to his disciples privately. And they say, you know, tell us, when will all these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? And Jesus told him, he said, watch out that no one deceives you. You know, I just want to tell you that it's amazing to me, you know, anyone can be deceived. And deception is what you think you're doing is right when you're wrong. So you can't look at somebody that's deceived and say you're wrong because they feel deep inside they're right. You can pray for them. And you got to pray for yourself too. We got to pray for ourselves. Lord, keep me from my eyes from being deceived. Keep my heart from being deceived. And then he goes on and he begins to say, he says, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and will deceive many. You're going to be hearing today on our continual 10-part interview about the Malachi prophecies that a large part of the Jesuit, not all the Catholic Church, but are preparing for a Messiah to return and to rule the world in a whole different perspective. And he says, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. What does that mean? When you're watching the news, don't, Jesus is saying, listen, just relax. This is just, you know, such things must happen, he says. But the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation. Well, that word actually comes from the word ethnos. Ethnic group will rise against ethnic group. And so you see is all these tensions between ethnic groups, you know, taking place. And, you know, so many people are trying to resolve that. And it's like, hey, you know, Jesus is saying, relax a little bit. The only thing that resolves that is where the two enemies become one at the cross. If people don't become Christians, they're not going to be able to work it out. It just won't work out. He said, nation will rise against nation, the kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and all these things are the beginning of birth pains. You know, right now, my son and my daughter-in-law are like moments away from having my grandson, and it's hard to explain, and only a pregnant woman can explain this. But being so close to the birth, I mean, it's just a miserable time, you know, that because you're ready, but then you're anxious too. And but you have to wait, but the baby's going to be birthed and the baby's going to be birthed, you know.
That's right.
And so many people want to induce the coming of the Lord. And this is the way you would induce the coming of the Lord, by the way, which means speed it up. Preach the gospel to every soul. Live in relationship with God, and we're out of here. Anything else? Not going to happen. Quit preaching all the other stuff and start preaching the kingdom of God. So as long as you're preaching 3 points in a farewell, you can pretty much say this baby ain't going to be birthed for a little bit. And then he says, then you'll be handed over to be cursed, persecuted. It's like, Jesus, I think, you know, I was, I was just asking when you're going to come back. We're looking at serving in your cabinet. You know, we want to be one of your soldiers or something.
Right.
But where does this persecution stuff come in? Because you understand that at that point, Jesus hadn't been crucified. Ne'er has Peter. And so they all ended up going through real tough situations in that. And he said, you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you'll be hated by all nations. Ethnos. You'll be hated by all nations because of me. Understand this. When you become a believer, you are part of a new ethnos, a new nation. You're a holy nation, a holy priesthood. And now we're in the lineage of God. And the first thing we are is Christians. We're Christ followers. And the second thing we are is what we are in our flesh. So we don't put our ethnicity, which is beautiful, all the different parts of us is beautiful, but we don't put that over our relationship with God. Everything submits to the fact that we're brothers and sisters, and God's our Father, and Jesus is our elder brother. That makes sense?
Oh, yeah.
And but we appreciate the beauty of who we are and the cool makeup of us. And he says, and at that time, okay, you're already being persecuted. You're already being hated. You know, you're already being put to death. Which obviously you got put to death once, so that's somebody else being put to death. So you're not actually observing this next person being put to death. You know, that's maybe from heaven. And he said, At that time, when this is going on, many will turn away from the faith, John. Many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
Does that just blow a hole in the false doctrine that you can't turn away from the faith?
Yes. Isn't that crazy?
That's the biggest false doctrine of all. It's like, Jesus did not force you to be his bride.
Hello?
This is not a shotgun wedding, you know what I'm saying? He asked you, and you said yes, and now every day you decide to be loyal to the bridegroom.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you, and he wants you to love him, but he's not going to force it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to force it. Let me say that again. This is what he's saying to him, he's talking about. This is why it's important, because I'm going to talk, it's going to come right back to Israel again. And at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. People will pop up and say, the Lord would say unto you, and the Lord would, it's amazing. This is what's amazing. You know, I want to say this with great authenticity. I wouldn't want to say anything else, I guess. By the time you deliver a word to the church, it should be done with such fear and trembling that you very well may have to go change your pants when you're finished. Because if you just throw words over the church without fear and trembling, and you put your hands on people and you prophesy over them and you don't even know what you said, get your hands off the church.
That's right.
Talking, you're putting your hands on the body of Christ. Mm. Throwing words out and don't even know what you said. It should be done with such fear and trembling, because they're going to take your words, and you could be and probably are a false prophet if you're just cranking off of your flesh and your own mind and your own thoughts. What are you doing?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And so with fear and trembling, the best way to put it is that you do it with such awareness of the eyes of God upon you, and that you could turn a person or a people or a church or a nation away from God. By the time you deliver it, you're still, you know, just walking on proverbial heavenly eggshells, hoping, dear God, you know, and you literally, you may have to change your pants when you're finished. You may have wet your pants because you're thinking, I really didn't want to deliver this word, but I had to deliver it. It's called with fear and trembling, because stop just saying anything, you know, and God deals with that. God talks about that coming from your own minds and your own thoughts and all this, because we need all the gifts in the church, but we don't need gifts used in the wrong way. And they've been using the wrong way since day one, but we need that. And so he says false prophets will deceive you, and deceive you means that people all of a sudden will say that they're following God and they heard from God. But
they're barking.
Yeah, and then
a mean word.
But then they'll lead you away. And so what that means, they're already led away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now you're following them, so now you're led away. And since you stand alone before the throne room of God by yourself, no witnesses or no suspects, you cannot come bring that person who led you astray and as a witness. I would call a false prophet number two to the stand, Lord, because first of all, you're hearing this now. So now there's no excuse, but you answer alone before God. And so you can turn away from the faith. And he says, because of the increase of wickedness, he's going ahead telling them this about the time that he's going to come. This is the time he's going to come, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
The love of most will grow cold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are we in that day or what?
My goodness.
I mean, you think about what Paul told Timothy. He's like, that they'll be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We are in the pleasure culture. You know, we're in the definitely pleasure culture. And he's talking to him about it. And he said, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Which means it's not about just saying a prayer at the altar, folks.
Mm-hmm.
It's standing. I mean, you want somebody to stand. Can you imagine fighting a war and somebody says, you go fight it, I'll meet you at the end. Remember, I told you I'm with you, but I'm not really with you, but I want to be able to stand in the victory march at the end. I mean, you got to be really with them. They're going to say, you're not with me, and you're not going to stand on this stage with me. Medal of Honor. Anyway, so, and he says, and this is what he says in verse 14. This is how you induce the labor pains for the earth to produce the cry for the manifestation of the sons of God. He says, in this gospel, the gospel that he's saying right here, what I'm talking to you about, of the kingdom of God, the kingdom, will be preached to all. Not the gospel of grace, not the gospel of faith, not the gospel of stuff and things. The gospel of the kingdom, king's dominion. Jesus is king over us. The kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all ethnos, all nations, and then the end will come. What is the end? It's over, bro. Ma'am, it's over. I don't care what religious argument you had at that point. It is over. So then he says this. So when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation, which some religious folks are preparing for, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field or his or her workplace go back to get their cloak or their clothes. How dreadful, he says, it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great distress, unequal from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equal again. In other words, it's going to just quake and shake in darkness and hatred and evil, and just like the days of Noah. He's sitting on the Mount of Olives having this conversation. I'm sure they're going like, I just wanted to know a date. You know, I didn't realize that it's going to cost us something. How many people today have been preached a false doctrine that says it's not going to cost you anything? Why would God have his son murdered, killed, sacrificed, and tell you it's not going to cost you anything? Salvation is free, but it costs you everything. Jesus said himself, unless you count the cost, unless you give up everything, you can't even be his disciple. So that's false. And so he finishes up. He says, listen, in those days, it says, if those days had not been cut short, no one would have survived. Yeah, we're thinking like, I wouldn't take much at all. 5 minutes of that, and it's like, take me.
That's over.
But for the sake of the elect, and praise God, dear Lord, I want to be the elect, you know? But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is Jesus, here is the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs, and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive. Listen, signs are supposed to follow you as a believer. You're not supposed to follow signs. Go figure. Sure. But would deceive many if it was possible. And he's talking about his coming, because all the stuff's going to, everything's going to do, everything in all Satan's arsenal is going to be launched against the human being that will just, and all he has to do is get you following him or one of his servants, and you're out. That's why there's the abortion's rampant. That's why all these things are rampant and war's rampant. He's trying to kill off as many people as he can before they say yes to Jesus. And he says, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders. Quit following signs. Believe God for signs to follow you. He said, these signs will follow them who believe. In my name, you will cast out demons. You will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You know, what we're seeing as we're walking with God right now, we're seeing it just like a natural happening. It's just this stuff happens. Yeah. God's just God amongst you, and these things happen. And he said that the elect couldn't be deceived in the context of that, but we want to cut it short for that. See, I have told you this ahead of time. And if anyone tells you, there he is in the wilderness, do not go out. Or here he is in the inner room, do not believe it. For as lightning, think about it, for as lightning that comes from the east is visible even to the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Imagine, just like, bam! I mean, everybody's going to know it. Listen, it ain't no secret in some cultic-looking thing out there in the middle of the Mojave Desert. Yeah, Mojave Desert. You know, that's not it. it's going to be like, bam, and everybody's going to know it. It's like lightning, bam. And everybody who didn't say yes knows it's over. Mm. Sitting here thinking you can send a little bit more before he comes back. That lightning can happen today, bro. Mm,
that's right.
That's right.
For as lightning that comes from the east is visible from the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. And think about it. And he says, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will darken and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Listen, we've already seen God's beginning to show us these things taking place. He's given us dreams about this, prophetic dreams of this happening. We are so close to the coming of the Lord.
Mm. Mm.
And then he says, he's talking to his disciples. They're saying, when are you going to come back? And then we started by talking about Israel. So it's coming back there. He says, then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great joy. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call. Think about it. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other.
Mm.
That's the last trumpet sound. Read the book of Revelation. You have seven trumpets. The last trumpet sounds. There he's, I'll send my angel. He'll blow the trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the sign. Listen to this. And I'm going to finish this up. But you got to understand this. When we're talking about Israel, 65 years old tomorrow. Now, learn the lesson of the fig tree. As soon, and this is, that represents Israel. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you will know that the summer is near. Remember, he said, pray that your flight doesn't happen in the winter. You'll know that your summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you will know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. This generation, who is that? That's you, man. That's you, sir. This generation, that's 65 years being a, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Israel is 65 years tomorrow, which means generations have been living. We're coming, this convergence, and John and I were just talking just a moment, just yesterday. All we can feel, and we're just, the convergence of everything is happening so quickly, and darkness is cranking it up, and so many people are deceived right now, but we believe in a third great awakening is going to come, and God's people are going to, their eyes are going to open up, they're going to turn back to him. But understand, listen, he says, when you see these things, he is knocking at the door. The coming of the Lord is near. Let me tell you, so you need to prepare yourself. You need to turn from your wickedness. Turn back to God. Listen, if you're around a whole bunch of folk who call themselves religious, but they're just swimming in sin, they're swimming in what God says don't even touch, then you got to step away from that just to be holy. I mean, I think it was George Barna that said people are leaving the church just so they can stay in relationship with God.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to stay holy. People said, no, because you guys, what you're doing in that particular place there, and it's not the whole church, but they were leaving, you know, groups and gatherings because what they were doing was taking them further and further away from God. Listen, the coming of the Lord is near. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.